It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. According to the Pennsylvania Department of Health and the National Center for Health Statistics, the infant mortality rate in the Pittsburgh region is one of the highest in the nation, 17% higher than the national rate. But with help from Three Rivers Mother's Milk Bank, that all could change. Providing pasteurized human breast milk to babies in need could reduce the risk of infection by 80%. I'm joined now in studio by Denise O'Connor. She is executive director of the Three Rivers Mother's Milk Bank. Denise O'Connor, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, thank you.
How did you end up starting this project?
Sure. Well, we've known for a number of years. There's a great body of evidence showing that the use of donor milk in the neonatal intensive care unit setting greatly reduces morbidity and mortality rates. It's something that's used all over the country. And in the last 5 years or so, we've been hearing from the medical community here how they wished we had this service. The closest milk banks to here are in Columbus and in Boston. And so 2 years ago, we started the project to raise funds and get this milk bank here.
And explain how it works.
Sure. Well, this is milk. When I talk about donor milk, I mean pasteurized milk from carefully screened donors. We're part of the Human Milk Banking Association in North America, and that organization accredits us, and we have to follow their guidelines on screening and processing. So we carefully screen donors who are just simply lactating mothers who are willing to donate the milk that they have in excess of their own baby's needs. We also may have bereaved mothers who have experienced a loss donate to us as well. And then we bottle and pasteurize that milk, and it's sold by prescription only to hospitals and to outpatients.
And what conditions, you talked about doing screening here. What conditions must be met in order to be a donor?
Sure. Well, as I said, they are generally they're just healthy, lactating mothers who are willing to donate their excess milk. They go through a 4-part screening process. If a woman would be interested in donating to our milk bank, they would contact us either by going onto our website at threeriversmilkbank.org or emailing us at donate@threeriversmilkbank.org. We would then set up a short 10-minute phone interview with them where we discuss many of health questions, what type of medications they take, information about them. If all goes well with that, then we send them out a detailed application packet, more screening questions, some logistics as far as, consent to donate, things like that. Then after that, we send out a health form to their doctor and their baby's doctor. We're looking to make sure that they're generally in good health, as is their baby is in generally good health and thriving on their breast milk. And then the last part is we do a blood screening, which is identical to what the blood banks do.
And what would raise a red flag? What would cause you to be concerned about someone being a donor?
Oh, well, we've already had about 90 women in process, so we're getting a bit of a feel for that. I would say, by and large, the biggies that we have is maybe a mother has something, a condition that, for example, if you have an active flare of an autoimmune disease, that's one of the things we're not allowed to accept milk from a mother for there. Or medications are a big thing, certain medications she might be on. Those seem to be the big ones that cause us to be able to defer a mother. But in general, the vast majority of moms that have contacted us were healthy and will end up passing the screening process.
Why is the infant mortality rate in Pennsylvania and West Virginia higher than in most other states?
Well, I'm not sure about West Virginia. I don't think they're higher than the national average, but we are here in Western Pennsylvania for sure. And we also have one of the highest disparities between white and African American infant mortality. The bulk of that infant mortality is made up by very low birth weight babies. So usually premature babies, these are babies that weigh less than 1.5 kilograms or 3.3 pounds. That's the exact population of babies that we are going to be serving, is very low birth weight babies. And we're not sure exactly why in Allegheny County we're higher in general.
You'd like to find out.
We would definitely like to find out, but we do believe that we will be able to move the needle on that. It's interesting because the other half of the state has been using donor milk for quite some time now, and we simply hadn't used it here. So when we started this project 2 years ago, our hospitals in Western PA were not using donor milk at all. Now, children switched over the summer in anticipation of us coming on board, and some of their doctors are on our medical advisory board and involved in this project. And McGee as well. Actually, we have physicians from all of our NICUs that have volunteered to work on our project on their own time. But also McGee just switched over to using donor milk. So we will be collecting data, so we will be able to see, you know, what our rates look like before donor milk and then after donor milk here in Western Pennsylvania. So it's sort of a unique opportunity.
And just the whole preponderance of premature babies being born, being born early and underweight, it seems to be happening a lot more often. We're seeing an increase in that really all over the country, aren't we?
A little bit, yes. And we know that it's very important for these babies that are born early to have nothing but human protein. And anytime we introduce a non-human protein to these babies, we end up putting them at greater risk for some very serious and potentially life-threatening conditions that can cause permanent disability or even death. And unfortunately, women who deliver babies prematurely and have babies in the NICU, up to 70% of them are unable to provide all of the milk their baby needs, at least initially. So that's what we do, is we fill in the gaps.
And why is human breast milk better in reducing infection?
Well, we have no idea exactly the way human milk works. We know that the less we fuss with it, the better it works. So the pasteurization method that we use, the Holder method, is a low-temperature pasteurization process that keeps as many properties intact while killing all the bacteria and pathogens that could be in that milk. We don't know exactly. There's lots of research going on trying to figure out why donor milk has the efficacy it does. But it's most powerful in preventing an illness called NEC, which is necrotizing enterocolitis, which is a gastrointestinal inflammation of the gut that up to 10% of premature babies will end up having. We know that we can decrease that rate by 80% and virtually eliminate all NEC deaths by using donor milk, human milk, actually, but donor milk if that can't be provided by the mother.
It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Denise O'Connor. She is executive director of the Three Rivers Mothers Milk Bank, which is coming up with a way to help deal with and reduce the infant mortality rate in the Pittsburgh region, one of the highest in the nation. How do you ensure that this process is sanitary and safe?
Oh, sure. Well, as I said, we're part of the Human Milk Banking Association of North America. That's our accrediting body. They've been around for 30 years. They are certainly the expert on the safety provision of donor milk, and we have to strictly follow their guidelines. They have an exceptional safety record. Throughout North America, they have distributed millions and millions of ounces, and there have not been one case of harm to any infant. So they definitely know what they're doing, and they are coming to visit us in early December to inspect our facility on December 7th and 8th, and then once we get the okay from them, we'll be allowed to process milk and distribute it.
What conditions must a baby meet in order to be given this milk? You described some of the situations that you address, but there may be somewhere, you know, someone comes to you and says, I need access to this, and they may be turned away. What reasons might those be?
Oh, sure. Well, we have to, of course, prioritize who gets the donor milk because it is
a
limited resource.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we have to follow strict guidelines with that. So for most milk banks, that ends up being that 80% of their volume will go to the hospital setting. And typically, it would be the whatever the procedures and the policies that the hospitals put in place. Most definitely for the hospitals, those babies that are 1.5 kilograms and below, the very low birth weight babies, they will have access to donor milk. In areas where milk banks have been around for a while, a lot of hospitals have expanded that, and we'll have babies that are just slightly premature also having access to donor milk because they find such good results. And in some areas, such as in Denver and Montana, it's offered even for full-term babies. Like perhaps a mother has a C-section and her milk is a little bit delayed coming in, and maybe baby has a little bit of hypoglycemia or something. Instead of giving formula, they're offered donor milk. And then also with most established milk banks, up to, you know, 20-25% of the volume will go to outpatients. Again, that's prioritized, and typically it would have to be a baby that has some type of medical issue. So an infant that has severe allergies, and even the specialty prescription formulas aren't allowing them to thrive, or perhaps the baby has post-surgical nutrition needs, short gut syndrome, malabsorption disorders. But no matter what, it's only distributed by prescription only.
What were the challenges faced in starting the donor milk bank here in Pittsburgh?
Sure. Well, of course, anytime you have a startup, the big thing is how are you going to fund it? And we needed, you know, $800,000 plus in order to start this project. We need a space. It costs money to screen donors. The pasteurizer units, we purchased two of those. Those are $40,000 a piece. And there's a lot of technology that has to be involved in donor milk banking as well, such as a barcoding system, things like that. So of course that was our first thing. And so we thought that was going to be our big obstacle. Fortunately, we have one of the most vibrant foundation communities here in Pittsburgh, and they're all very interested in lowering that infant mortality rate. So we have been blessed with getting just an abundance of foundation funds. We had the Henry L. Hillman Foundation gave us a grant just in 1 year ago, really, last December. They gave us a grant of $300,000, which is what gave this project wings. And then right after that, Pittsburgh Foundation followed, Grable, Macaulay Ministries, Jefferson Regional, UPMC, and Highmark. And so the whole entire community is invested in this. And we have raised most of our fundraising goal. We still have a little bit more to raise, but we have enough to proceed. And then beyond that, one of our biggest issues was finding an appropriate space. So find something that was large enough on a first floor that ended up being cost effective. And that took many more months than we ever thought. But we are really pleased with the space we have. We're located in the Strip District, 3127 Penn Avenue. It's just a perfect space, and we're in close proximity to all of our level three NICUs here in Pittsburgh. So it's great.
So what kind of feedback have you received from the community about this?
Oh, overwhelmingly positive. I mean, I cannot believe the donor response that we've been able to get. We are a little bit unique because we have a lot of funding for this milk bank. Typically, the way milk banks come about are some clinicians get together. They feel they realize the need. They get a little bit of money together, build a little lab, and then they have to raise money to make it bigger, and it kind of organically grows. Well, because of our foundation funding, we've been able to look at this project and do it in the most cost-effective way possible. You know, do it right from the start, not having to rebuild things, really looking at this and seeing how can we process milk in a cost-effective way that's right for the community. So as part of that, one of our grants was actually money to do proper donor recruitment and PR and advertising and marketing in a way that most other milk banks haven't been able to do starting off with. So as a result, we've gotten tremendous donor response. We have 90 women in process. We have gotten so many emails from people who want to volunteer, and it's just been wonderful. People who would like to serve on our board, the medical community has been wonderful. It's great now that we're screening donors, and I have to fax out those healthcare forms, and I'll get little notes from pediatricians when they send out those forms back, you know, okaying the donors, like, thank you for having this service or good luck. And so we've just been embraced by the community and beyond our wildest dreams. And when I talk to other milk banks, you know, they're a little jealous, I think, because they didn't have the, it's so nice to have these funds. So I'm hoping, you know, moving forward, we can be a model so the other milk banks that open up, you know, that their communities will embrace it in the same way. So.
And I was going to ask you about what the future goals are for this, for the milk bank in Pittsburgh, the Mother's Milk Bank.
Oh, great. Well, to service Pennsylvania and West Virginia, both inpatients and outpatients, and also to promote human milk banking across the country. We have almost 20 milk banks now here in North America, and they're all thriving. They're all growing exponentially because there is this great need now. It's becoming the standard of care. So as a nation, we provide about 50% of the need right now for the NICU. So there's several more developing milk banks on the horizon coming into the fold. So, you know, collectively working with the Human Milk Banking Association in North America to meet that need on a national level and locally here too. So
we've been talking with Denise O'Connor. She's executive director of the Three Rivers Mother's Milk Bank. Denise O'Connor, thanks for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And coming up, a conversation with legendary CMU football coach Rich Lackner.
It's a labor of love, and I just enjoy my job. I enjoy the kids here, the administration, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, to be honest with you.
And we'll talk with a Pitt place kicker who's getting ready for one of the biggest games of the season against Notre Dame.
Really, it's just going out there and not kicking with regret. You can't kick scared. You can't play scared. Because otherwise you start compromising, and then you'll mess up, and then you'll feel like you've left some on the field that you could have. So I'm just going out there, going 100%, 100 miles an hour, and if I mess up, I mess up.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.